right about the halothane in her bloodstream.
But what you failed to mention is the fact that it's your semen in her vaginal cavity.
Okay.
Is your semen in Sarah Pollard as well?
Where the hell are you going with this, Frank? Can't you see this as a frame? Forrest is coordinating this whole thing from prison. Can't you see that?
Yeah, right. Well, is it Forrest's semen in Sarah Pollard, or is it yours, Jack?
Somebody hired Sarah Pollard to be with me last night, then killed her. Took my semen, deposited into Dale Mars.
Do you have any idea how absurd that sounds?
No, it's not absurd. I don't have time to explain it.
I know how you use people.
It's no secret you're a womanizer, you drink too much. How do I know that you haven't gone completely over the edge?
Oh, man,
how the hell do
I
know what you're capable of doing?
What
did
I do, Frank? Did I send myself a tape? Did I blow up my car? Did I set my apartment on fire? Did I fire bullets at myself? For God's sakes, Frank, will you wake up? What the hell are you doing? What are you doing?
I have no idea who you are anymore, Jack.
You don't.
I've got Graham.
No, you're
not bringing him in.
Frank, just give me some time, okay? Just give me some time. I can untangle this, okay? Just give me, here, give me some time.
88 minutes.
Blow your fucking head off.
A Joe Avent movie, 2007, lackluster Al Pacino outin. Yeah, Tony, why did you pick this movie?
Well, before we go any further, we're going to do what this movie failed to do. This podcast will be exactly 88 minutes.
Okay. No, but like, no.
TikTok, Shane. You're wasting time.
TikTok, dog. Okay, 88 minutes. Yeah, we'll try. Okay, so Tony, why do you like this movie? Why did you pick it?
I feel like this movie has to be, when they're making this movie, I feel like when they're watching Pacino's performance, like, okay, this movie's going to suck. Let's lean into it. Let's make a so bad it's good movie. That's my opinion.
Incorrect.
Because some of the choices that people make is just hilarious.
Yes. And I think everyone, I don't think there's any inkling this is going to be a bad movie. I feel we've got a lot of mistakes.
Are you serious?
A lot of mistakes were
Pacino
in post. Don't try to defend Pacino, this trash.
I'm saying Pacino is not bringing it like he usually does.
He is. He's doing his regular shtick. He's just too old now, bro. He's too old.
Yeah, do you think...
He aged out of it.
No, do you think Forrest maybe had a 65-year-old Pacino in his mind when he wrote the screenplay?
Hell no. Bro, it's a womanizer who's a commitment phobe, who's dating women, like, who, you know, it's just insane. Like,
yes.
It's laugh out loud funny. I actually thought, who could be the better person in this role, like, contemporary? And the person who's perfect for it is Donnie Brasco, running mate.
Johnny Depp.
Yes,
that makes sense.
He was 44 or 43 at the time.
Yeah.
So he's right in that age.
That's the perfect age to be.
Yes.
You need a little bit 60, like
he was 67.
Life experience.
Or 66.
This movie was, I think he filmed it when he was 25.
Oh, so he was 65.
Or 25, 65.
Yeah, the
65
energy. Energy of a 25-year-old.
There's only a decade after Heat.
Yes.
And it's a big drop off.
Literally. I think he just got away with it in Heat, like Jess, like as the like leading man.
That's
sexiness.
That works. So, actually, a 10 years younger Pacino, this would work.
Yes, it would work. But I'm just saying, it's just like a fraction. Like it just works in Heat. I think De Niro's 3 years older, younger than him. Sorry, 3 years younger.
Yeah, but De Niro's not right for this part either.
Yeah, and I feel like Pacino's doing the same stuff he did in Heat. Like his hair's crazy. Well, he's always crazy. The goatee is insane. I don't know what the fuck.
It's to make him look younger.
I don't know.
Even though in the flashback scenes where he's with Beyonce, they shave it off.
Yeah.
Should have insane. Looks even older.
They should have inverted that.
In the flashbacks.
It should have been him with the goatee at the start and then shave it off throughout the movie. And they would, if I was the screenwriter, probably when they cast Pacino, I don't know if he like lobbied for the role or he did someone a favor.
No,
or...
I think he had two scripts in his hand. One was 88 Minutes and the other one was The Departed.
Oh my God, no
and
way.
And I feel like he's like, I can still
as if,
pull
bro,
off.
Where are you getting these facts from? Departed was 2000.
It's trivia.
Okay.
I didn't be trivia.
One year before. So this took longer to film than Departed.
No, this probably took 88 minutes to make. But yeah. He's like, all right. But you're like the supporting actor again.
Who's going to be Martin Sheen's role?
Or was it going to be Martin Sheen's role?
No, but don't be Jack's.
It was going to be Nicholson's, yes. It would be Nicholson.
You couldn't pull it off.
So, haven't you heard that before?
I can't
Pacino
remember.
I'm pretty sure it was because he said, this is your part. And he's like, nah. Yeah, well, and then did The Irishman later.
Happy mistake.
I feel like he had two scripts in his hand. Leading man.
Sexy leading man. Sexy leading
action
man.
Movie or, yeah. you know, crime thriller starring, like where he's like the third banana.
Yeah.
I think his ego got to him.
100%. His ego's always got to him, bro. It's still getting to him. I always bring it up in Sea of Love. He's trying to outstage some wannabe actor.
Well, I feel like this one, he's out of steam in most of his scenes.
Yeah.
Or maybe because he's mostly playing off women. I think the whole movie, actually.
Yes, I think he asked for that.
Yeah. No, I think there's a hint of suaveness and charmness he's trying to like pull off in every scene. Like,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It works 10 years ago. But I'm saying, this is a valiant effort. This is like his swan song. In a sense, like, this is his last time he tried it. I actually tried to look at De Niro's last time he tried to be, like, a sexy, like, leading man. He hasn't tried it in, like, decade. Like, he didn't do it in the 2000s. He was playing, like, old men, like, in the 2000s.
Yeah, like, I feel like he can look in the mirror and, like, yeah, I'm past that point of my career.
Yeah. So, wise. But, yeah, but apparently Pacino is, in real life, a womanizer, a chick magnet, a stick man. Women love him. He has that like energy about him. He's actually short, dude. So I don't understand. But confidence. Confidence goes
short. Well, they call short king.
So Lily Sabowski, the girl from Eyes Wide Shut, she like honored him at the AFI because they were filming it around the same time. So that's when he got his Lifetime Achievement Award around the same time. This was getting released.
Leading an action movie and he's getting his Lifetime.
And it's been 20 plus years of him acting after that. But no, she was like gushing over him. And it's like, and I'll read in the comments, like, yeah, every woman loves him. Like, all the, and like, random's like, oh my God. So, something about him, and like, men see it too, but like, there's an attractiveness to him, not just his energy, but this entertainment.
He's just crazy charisma.
His entertainment. Like, we're talking about Pacino and De Niro, like we always do when we bring up one of their movies. They did Righteous Kill by the same director a year later or something. Like, they did it back to back.
Yes.
Do you reckon Pacino convinced De Niro to do that?
I sent you the... Yeah, maybe. It's like, we can walk over all over this director. We can shop late.
Yeah, actually.
Do whatever we want.
Yeah, you know, there's a scene with Neil McDonough. He plays...
The villain.
The villain, yeah.
John Forrester.
They must have cut this scene out, but when he's like getting the...
I think they cut a lot of scenes out, mate.
Yeah, well, there's a scene...
And it still feels bloated.
Yes. Well, yeah. I was enjoying myself for the majority of the movie. And then like, this hits dull part where the unintentional comedy's gone and they're just gone for the plot and there's actually nothing funny anymore. And so they've lost that side of the entertainment. But we'll get there when we start talking about it. If we do, we might run out of time by then. 88 minutes, yes. Tick-tock-duck. Yeah, so Neil McDonough is filming his death scene. So there's a scene where they're actually lethal injecting him and Al Pacino's, like, they're watching. And the day he's shooting it, he's, like, preparing and, like, okay, you ready? And he's like, where's Al? He's like, oh, no, we're just doing your close-up. He's like, no, he's going to want to see me when I look over to him. Like, he's going to want see my reaction. And then he's like, and they're like back and forth. And he pretty much made them get Al. And then Al's like,
the scene.
Yeah. And then Al like goes in there, oh, I'm so sorry. It's like, reminds me of that Willem Friedkin story, how fucking he's just always late to set and shit.
But he claims that he doesn't have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. He has no concept. He's really getting blown all the time. He's just Al time. He was profusely sorry. And they've been friends ever since. Like, he reckons if it wasn't for him standing himself, they never would have had that relationship they'd had post that movie. So he felt guilty. He is like a pure guy when it comes to cinema. I feel like De Niro doesn't respect it as much as Pacino. De Niro kind of sold out in a different way. Nothing like Dunkachino or anything like that.
That's hilarious.
I know, it's hilarious.
It's one of the funniest scenes.
But De Niro was just like, you look at these post stuff, like these post 2000s, it's worse than Pacino's, I think. Like, always you got Meet the Parents.
Just supporting roles.
Just supporting. But yeah,
Joker, he's pretty good in Joker.
Yeah, but.
I think that's his only good one. Or maybe Civil War's playbook. But actually, I don't even like that movie. Yeah. So just Joker.
I didn't watch Joker yet. I think I'm going against
it. Still haven't seen it.
No, I watched the Mark Scorsese. I watched the original, bro. King of Comedy.
Oh, and Taxi Driver.
Yeah, it was a mixture of the two, was it?
But mainly Taxi Driver.
Yeah. So let's get on to the character Jack Graham, which almost sounds like...
William Graham, right?
Yes.
From Star Wars.
Yeah,
Red Dragon, I should say.
Yeah, Red Dragon, yeah.
Edward Norton.
Yeah, Edward Norton. Have they played a movie together, Edward Norton and Pacino? That would be a good ego clash.
I don't think so, actually. I know he's worked with De Niro a couple
yeah.
of times.
Yeah.
Norton.
But yeah, no, so onto the character, Jack Graham. He is a master psychiatrist. Like, he can read anyone, but he uses that to pick up women, I'm guessing. Like, is that, like, unethical? Like, to do if you can do that? I feel like there's a weird line.
Well, no, he's just got game. That's all it is, man. He's got game.
Good game. I don't know. I feel like there's something bad about that.
You think he's cheating?
Yeah.
I hate the player.
Yeah, but Tony, we're supposed to do The Recruit instead of this. Well, we're supposed to be
yes, the pay booth. Was going to be the movie I thought was The Recruit is a perfect average movie. It's not bad. It's not great. It's just average. So I was like, nah, it's not really good to talk about for 88 minutes.
Okay.
There is a couple good scenes, but Pacino's actually.
Did you watch the whole thing?
It's probably a better Pacino. Yeah, what's the whole thing?
Yeah,
probably a little bit of a Pacino performance.
Yeah.
But
he's not going big, though. Does he go big?
But the entertainment value, this movie blows it out of the water.
That's not saying much. Anyway, yeah, okay. Let's go. I reckon we should talk about the plot because that's the most entertaining part about this, like the decisions actors make or the script makes or Pacino improvises or the stunt double just rocks up for like 2 seconds.
Man, how many crazy cuts were there when he's meant to do something, physical?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Like went up to a set of stairs. You can tell he's a body double and then he walks in for 5 steps and they do a quick cut.
I think there's a scene where he's running. There's like 3 seconds of him running and they just cut it straight away. You can tell he's like out of breath.
I want to see like the outtakes.
But we shouldn't make too much fun. For 65 years old, he is moving all right.
Mate, if I looked this good at 65, I'd be very happy.
Yeah. Well, think about it, man. How hard has his life been? He's been like on movie sets like the majority of his life. Like he hasn't been in the sun too much, hopefully. You're fucked, bro. Your skin is so dead.
Yeah, I know.
Boilermaker stuff. Anyway, so let's get into the 3 questions before we start the episode. You have All Life's Left, because it's New Year. I still owe you a punishment. So if you get 2 out of 3, you survive. You don't lose a life.
Okay.
First question. Which movie made more money? 88 Minutes or De Niro's movie that came out the same year?
Which was?
That's up to you to find out. It's like a little bit harder.
It's 2007.
No cheating.
It's not the bucket list because I think that was 07. Or was it 08? I think
bucket
it was 07.
List? He's not in the bucket list.
Oh, no, I see. He's not on the bucket list. I'm thinking like old actors' movies.
Well, if he doesn't have a movie in 07, that means you win.
Nah, I'm going to go because then again, I saw that I was on YouTube. This had a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they definitely pushed this hard, dude.
Yeah.
They pretty much like AFI. They probably gave Lifetime Achievement Award to promote the movie.
I feel like De Niro. I feel like it would have been a bigger budget movie, probably a better movie. So I got De Niro.
You are correct. It was a kind of like a little lob ball. He was in Stardust in 2007, an ensemble piece like you're talking about.
And a good performance too. He plays a gay pirate.
With context, it makes sense with the movie. It sounds like so strange, but yes, he does play a good fight. All right, Tony, who has been in more movies, De Niro or Pacino?
I know Pacino was very selective in his young, when he first started his career. So turned down a lot of good roles. I think he turned down Han Solo as well.
God damn.
Which is crazy.
That was a big ask, though, to try to get that. Like, the Han Solo was nothing, though.
I didn't understand it. Didn't understand.
Well, he's full of shit anyway. He probably gets every script on his fucking desk.
And just, but apparently he got a lot of roles. He turned out a lot of roles and he regrets not working with directors. He could.
Yeah.
But he's like, I always go by gut feeling. Can I make this character work?
It's like Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Matt Damon went for directors and shit. And then Ben Affleck became one.
Nice.
So their parts are pretty funny.
I'm going to go, because De Niro's been pumping him out. De Niro's been pumping him out lately. Like, De Niro has been in more movies.
Correct. Yes, correct. De Niro's been in more movies.
De Niro's the answer every time so far.
All right. You won. So anyway, this is just for fun. Who had the bigger paycheck? Like who got more money in the 90s for a movie? Pacino or De Niro?
In the 90s?
Yes.
Who
had a higher asking price?
I'm just breaking down. De Niro didn't win any Oscars in the 90s, did he? Only Pacino did.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Oscar kick.
Was he nominated in Goodfellas, Pacino? I mean, De Niro?
No, I don't think he was nominated.
He should have been.
I'm going to go. He might have been nominated a couple
maybe
times.
Maybe in Casino too, right? Surely.
Yeah.
It was Rothstein.
Did anyone ever won an Oscar in the 90s? So Pacino won an Oscar. He got the Oscar kick. Pacino had the higher asking price.
Yeah. And I think that's correct. Give you the sweep. I was going to go total box office gross. Do you know who that wins that, Tony? Like, or if you add all the movies together?
Most likely De Niro.
Yeah, De Niro got that. So it's $5 billion to $3
billion. Damn.
Yeah. But yeah, Pacino's asking was like $10 million. So $10 million to a movie. I think...
Well, I think he got broke, though. That's the thing with...
Yeah, Pacino. Like, he was... Someone ripped him before... Off. Before... What's that? This blind one. He's blind. Before he
Lost Son of a Woman.
Yeah, before Son of the Woman. He was like a laughing stock in Hollywood. Like,
just because he's broke.
And like, he was just a has-been. Like, I don't know. Well, Clito's Way is before that, wasn't it? Or was it just after?
Clito's Way was after.
Yeah, so that really really restarted his career. It's a fun performance, and it's like, it's not that great. He should have won an Oscar for Clito's Way. It's way better.
Oh, yeah.
Personally.
I wish we were covering this movie. No, this is something about this movie.
All right, well, let's go to the movie smoothie then. Okay, so... What elements in this movie? So you got serial killer, detective, psychiatry, BDSM elements, Asian, young women, living out your young man fantasies, delusional.
A ticking clock.
Ticking clock, TikTok doc. Young cast, like a great young cast.
Anything, that's silly. They should have hired older people so Pacino doesn't seem so old. It just makes it even more
dramatic. I know, yeah, bro. It's insane when he's in the club and the fucking booty
we'll
right
now. Yeah, we'll get
there. He's just yeah, like, smart.
We'll talk about that. Anyway. There's no way that music was playing.
No, hell no. Hell no. Nothing was playing.
Some just, like old school jazz music. And Pacino's like, yeah.
Bro, I would love if he was drinking a Red Bull and vodka or something, not that wine. Yeah. Oh, fire it. Yeah. Why didn't they just retroactively just change the script after you signed on? They should have just changed it.
Because she was like this. No. The chicks love me. Let me just sign on this piece of shit. All right, so our movie smoothie. This is 88 minutes by the numbers. So these are just some stats from the movie. The title of the movie, 88 minutes, was said 9 times. Al Pacino was 65 when he filmed this movie. What do you need this? TikTok was only said 11 times. Felt like way more.
We should mention that. After watching this movie, bro, you could tell I didn't like it. I don't know why you're trying to lighten the movie. You keep saying it to me like for a couple of days.
I feel like it's a good troll move. Just kidding. Yeah.
TikTok.
What is it? That's like a Hamish and Andy, when you get the upper hand. What do they call it?
Oh, like a power move.
Power move. It's a power move. When you say TikTok.
TikTok. Rush. Yeah. TikTok.
There were 31 phone calls placed.
Did you ask AI for this shit, or did you count it?
I counted it. I went back for the movie, but on fast forward, it was like 31 phone calls. There was like a couple I just counted.
Is that when he has his broken phone close to his ear and shit?
Mate, it's insane. That was the dumbest move. Don't let him fumble the phone.
Oh my god, yeah.
Because it makes him look old as hell.
Yes, everything he does is old.
It's meant to be like he gets pickpocketed, and then that raises tension. Like, oh fuck, someone just... The guys around him.
Oh, yeah, so many fixes, bro. So many fixes.
Yeah.
He gets mugged. It's badass scene when he gets mugged or something. Who knows?
Yeah. There were 4 red herrings.
Yes.
Literally. Oh, maybe 5. Because would you count the teacher? Or the Mrs. Porter?
Yeah.
You know,
Deborah
his boss?
Deborah Karaunga, her name is.
Yeah. Would you count her as a red herring?
No. The only red herring really was literally the red-haired girl. That other stuff is stupid.
Nah, but maybe the guy from True Blood. Steven.
Yeah, that's just
Moyer?
Stupid shit too, man. Like, it's all stupid. That was the laziest fucking misdirect
okay,
ever.
Okay, well,
dude, that was just bad.
Right, we'll go with 4. 4 red herons. This is not AI, but this is cheap. This is me demoing the script and searching question marks.
Oh, yeah.
There were 419 questions asked in this movie.
Damn.
Almost 420. I was like, 420.
Who's answering these questions for?
Not fucking. Pacino's been asked all the questions. Who?
What? Who? Who? When?
5 women get hanged by the ankles.
Yeah.
Actually,
is this kind of a question, Tony? You got to get these people closure, man. Closure. Where are the bodies? Where are the bodies?
You put the clips in. Put the clips in.
Yeah.
Scenes.
Dude, that scene where he's like on the phone to that guy. It's like when Steve Seagal's like in his sniper chair. This is like his equivalent to that. He's in his chair yelling in the phone, saying like in a courtroom. The clock
breakdown. There is so many.
Send that man to jail. He deserves to die. Yeah. This is his fucking Steve Seagal.
Times I've watched this movie, this would be. I'll go 3.5 because I watched it on fast forward.
This is my second time. First time was with you.
So you did two. Raji nominations, Shane? How many do you think you got?
4.
You got 2. Worst actor and actress. And the actress is obviously the villain. Probably.
They gave it to Neil McDonough.
From Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, yeah. She was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was really.
This probably killed her career. This
must be the direction. Midnight Train. What's it called?
Midnight Train.
There was a movie you showed me.
Night Train. You're close.
Night Train.
Yeah, she was good. Night Train.
She was better than that. So I don't think she was. Yeah.
She was just a young hot thing, and she just aged out. And like
maybe she just had a big crush on Pacino.
Yeah,
like her character.
Bro, her career literally died.
And then number of scenes, Al Pacino actually brought some game, and that was one. The one scene he actually really brought out
this
energy.
Is this a climax?
No, this was with Will and Forsythe. I feel like because he was bouncing off him.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's always.
You know, when he's like, it's a frame, Joe. It's obviously a frame. You think I shot bullets? And
I set myself a tape.
This is the last one. Number of girls that want to have an intimate relationship with Jack Graham.
20.
Eight. Eight, bullshit. But an eight on its side because
all the girls looking
every
at
woman,
him. Yeah, Infinity.
An eight on its side, yes, yeah, Infinity, because every woman wants him. It's insane.
Even the men want him, bro.
And that's the 88 minutes by the numbers.
Okay, great snapshot of the movie. Let's get into it. Let's get into this crappy Seven ripoff elements.
Well.
Right?
Our first scene is an opening kill. Well, sorry, it's a ticking clock with the title card is the ticking clock and the 2 8s. Well, 1 8 separate because 88 minutes.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, bro?
Yeah.
Zodiac came out the same year.
Man.
Moving the same.
Do you think Pacino watched this movie?
Well, I'm looking at the cast. Brian Cox, you can play Brian Cox role in Zodiac. But I don't think Fincher would work with him.
Do you think Pacino could handle... Yeah, Pacino couldn't handle Fincher with all the multiple takes.
Yeah, no. Fincher, I think Fincher's a very tedious director. Like fucking... What's his name? Freakin. He couldn't handle him. And I think
and he slaps people around, so it's pretty crazy. So our opening kill scene is a period piece
or killer.
For some reason they mentioned Princess Diana and the date on the newspaper 1997. They're really hammering home it's 1997.
You know, could have done that first. You could just have a little thing that says the date.
Yeah, the little title thing. The one thing that could fix this scene, because she puts on music to go to sleep. Oh, no, just, I don't know what she's doing, feeding the cat, but she's having a party by herself. Don't go playing games with
And her sister's home. Annoying. But apparently they're twin sisters too.
But this scene would be a lot better if the killer, you know, knocks her out and turns up the music and then you see him, you know, fuck with her with
the
music
on.
It's too late,
bro. It's too late. You can't fix it. It's done.
Yes. I mean, that would have been a good.
I've heard movies have done that before too.
Yeah. It makes it more unsettling.
I think Urban Legends did that.
A nice song and then horrific images. Yeah.
So Urban Legends is a scene where like she's got a roommate and she's like really kinky and shit. Like, and there's no like divide in room. There's like two beds opposite of each other pretty much, like butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's like, she got in trouble one night for turning the lights on when her boyfriend was over. And so she goes in and she's like, she's getting murdered. And she's like, and she's like, okay, I'm not turning the lights on. And then she puts headphones on, turns the music up, and the guy's like killing her across it. That was a pretty creepy scene in a pretty average movie.
I remember watching that movie. Jared Leto, wasn't it? He's a victim, right?
Yeah,
he's a victim.
And Michael Rosenbaum had a good role.
That's remember.
Yes, it was her.
doesn't matter. So the direction of when the killer snatches the girls, it's like a quick zoom and then fade to black.
Should we talk
and
about her, like...
The,
unnecessary nudity. Not even full. That's what I'm saying. This movie's that shit. You don't even see breasts. You just see him in bikini and shit. Well, give me something.
Yeah. Well, you see one ass, and Pacino's head was way in it.
This is a yoga scene.
Yeah. So after the first kill, the killer gets scared off by a cat and a guy going, "Hey, set that damn cat up." And then this lady screams, and then he's like, "Oh, fuck, I'll get it to Gabby." Doesn't finish the other girl off. Yeah. She testifies under Pacino's direction, it seems like. What's it called?
Which is unclear at this point. You don't know that.
He trains her to...
No, he just gives her confidence.
He coaches her.
Yeah, coerces her. What do you have? Yeah. What do you fucking... The lawyer of this...
Well, I feel like this movie... We'll skip to the end because it's going to be quick. Well, we might not even get to the end because Shane was going to cut this thing off for 88 minutes. But at the end, he picks up the tape where he admits that, I fucking faked the testimony. I did all this shit. And he puts it in his pocket at the end. So it's like ambiguous. I like to think too.
Yeah, but it's also, Tony, that doesn't hold up in court of law. Cause
I know that, but why do you have the tape then?
Because maybe who cares? I don't know. This is stupid. Why are you even talking about that for? It doesn't even matter.
Because it's meant to be an ambiguous ending.
It's not
ending.
Deep, bro. It's not deep.
Well, I like to think it's an ambiguous ending and that he's actually the villain.
Ah,
and,
interesting.
John Forrester is actually innocent.
Yes. Okay. I had that thought written down later. But yeah, I think a way better movie, just like Cruisin'.
Yes.
How the Cruisin'
was pissed off because he's like, I could have played the character a bit better.
Different. Because let me play that. But yeah, if he was the original killer, they wouldn't have the balls to do it. And play almost exactly the same. I got another good thing coming up as well, another good plot twist towards the end that you might like.
Fade to like a boat landing on the
water. Twice. So fucking weird this fucking...
And is that saying that he's...
I think it's a mistake in the edit,
like,
bro.
He's rushing. Doesn't matter where this trial is at, he's going to get there.
I don't know. I just feel like it just breaks up the scenes. You can't cut straight to court.
Maybe it feels more ominous?
I don't know.
Is that the word?
Yeah, I have no answer.
Yeah, it's not a good choice. What was that song that wakes up Pacino? It's like big booty, 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 fucking everywhere.
The part in court, let's talk about that scene real quick. It was just so funny because Al Pacino's like giving his testimony. And
he will rape again.
Yeah.
That's like, what I really remember from.
Anyway, the camera pans in the McDonough and he's like deaf staring. And like the score does a really big like, like thing, trying to like make them seem more tense or more important. It's like nothing's
working. Well, was this the look he was talking about, Jane, maybe?
No. This is deaf scene.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Neil McDonough. I reckon he's good in everything.
He's a great villain in, was it Walking Tall?
Is he the bad guy in that? Nice. I haven't seen that in ages.
I'm pretty sure he's
good. He's good. He's good in that Minority Report. He plays a really good, like, heavy in that. Remember?
Like, booty, 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 rocking anywhere. Booty, booty.
He's playing, like, hungover slash horny slash surprised.
But, like, he's, like, wearing, like, two necklaces and a tight black shirt.
Yeah, buttons, and, like, buttons I feel
like
loose.
I feel like he liked this look.
Oh, 100%.
Like, yes. I feel young again.
Yeah, he's this is why he signed on to it, bro. They probably would have. They would have suggested to him, "Hey, can we change the script a bit? Maybe have it like you're like a struggling dad, like you don't really talk to your daughter or something like that." And he's probably hit too close. So I'm like, no.
The person that got killed that was close to him wasn't his daughter. It was like his baby sister that was like 20 years different.
Yeah,
like she was. So it's his sister. He was 28. Yeah. It was his little baby sister.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, because
I feel like it's a cop out. Like, make him a divorce dude.
Yeah, easily. Because he didn't say many things. He's got to go divorce over his daughter dying.
He's too much of a womanizer. He's too much of a woman.
Yeah, he's commitment phobe, bro.
he turns at the alarm clock, looks around the room, like his eyes all blue.
She's doing yoga naked.
No, well,
brushing her teeth. Naked, doing yoga. She's
not doing yoga.
She's stretching out. Doing, right? What?
No, she's letting his cream pie drip out. Just remember, they need the jizz for the kill scene.
I forgot about that stupid shit. Yes. I forgot when that one line. They stole my jizz. What the fuck you said? Bro, actually, his jizz is
like,
very...
So, it's like,
so that makes more sense now. Like, okay, at least they face. That's so fucking stupid, though.
Yes,
yeah. Not suspicious about that then? No, that's how the young girls are doing it.
Yeah, a forensic scientist, well, forensic psychiatrist should know, like, that's unusual behavior.
No, he's delusional, this dude. I really wish, like, he's like an insane dude and this is all in his head. Like, women.
Well, maybe he actually wants to maybe he wants a baby too, because he did.
Well,
but he obviously didn't use protection.
Bro, he had a baby at 83 years old.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. He actually had his last, I assume it's his last child. I don't think he's going to pop out another one. But he had the same child, I'd say the same birth year as my daughter.
Oh, wow.
What if my daughter dated his son?
Maybe make it happen.
Oh, what the hell?
Fucking groom your daughter.
Groom your daughter. Oh my God.
No, but like Murphy has like the genetics. That's what Pacino's genetics in our bloodline.
Yeah. Alira Pacino. Or Al Pacino. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's yeah. I'm going to call my, well, my daughter's, yeah, Olivia.
I'll start calling her Al. I'll start calling her Al.
Olivia De Niro. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
No, what was I say that? No. On that note.
Dude, we got TikTok, man. We've got 88 minutes to do this thing.
What are you talking about? North Transport.
He goes out to the dining room and he's like, I've seen that ass before. Well, he says outfit. He says outfit.
Yeah,
he's like, it's last night.
It's the body language, bro.
Yeah, but he's acting hungover, but he's still being charming and suave. And she still enjoys his company, even though she's a hooker who got paid to be.
He doesn't even notice.
But I feel like for her, in this movie, man, she got free money, essentially. She had a great time.
She got killed, though.
So this is phone call number one.
Do you not go through? Call the movie. Yeah. We said it was 41 phone calls. Don't have to listen.
31. No, I might. No, I'll probably lose count. But I think we have time anyway. But John, like, William Forsythe's like, oh my God, there's been another crime scene. It's the exact same as the, was it the Seattle?
Seattle Slayer. Oh, so lame. Seattle Slayer. So lame.
And he's like, oh, fuck, okay, here we go.
I love fucking William Forsythe ever since.
Yeah, and he's like, we're going to send federal agents to your work. And so he takes a taxi to his job. He spots Stephen Moyer just outside watching him, and he doesn't think much of it yet.
Yeah.
He meets his lesbian, he meets up with his lesbian secretary. So this guy is a forensic psychiatrist.
Yeah, that's her assistant.
Yes, with a huge office building. Like, because he walks through this office and it's like,
it's like a college people. Thing.
No, this is his office.
Oh,
there's like 30 people working around him. Or I think he does say John Graham Associates. So he has a huge workforce behind him. And he's a professor. Like, he's a John Gray, I don't know, he's a fucking physics psychiatrist at day and then a college professor at night. I don't know how he does it all in this movie. The secretary's like,
getting piece of ass.
Agent's coming to see you.
No, they talk, they briefly talk to each other about, getting laid. It's hilarious. It's just like so weird because she's like so young. This doesn't work. Like, no self-awareness whatsoever for Pacino. I mean, they have to be laughing at him, mate. The real actresses on, or maybe they're not. Maybe they're charmed by him. But
they're charmed, mate.
Fucking the guy
from
the OC.
They're acting when they want him.
The guy from the OC. You know,
that's not acting.
Tony, do you reckon he would have been like pissed off about this?
Nah, I reckon he'd be like, Mr. Pacino, I'm a big fan, man. Have you seen the OC?
OC was on like 2 years in or something.
Yeah, I think he would have been 2 years. I think 2003 is when it started.
Was that like his? This is like his first
OC movie. 03. I think that sounds
probably right. In a few days of filming, so he probably could get away with it, you know.
Yeah, so we see that he has a huge...
Actually, Tony.
All his files under lock and key massively.
Yeah. I was going to say the OC ended in 07. This is his coming out movie.
Yeah, that's true. So he's got like, this is the red herring girl. She's like his assistant / favorite student /
substitute. Oh, yeah, no, she has a crush on him too.
Yes. Well, every person has a crush on him. We don't even mention.
Dude, I was praying
because the guy waiting in the office for him, the FBI, the FBI dudes, the white guy, the young white guy, he has a crush on him as well.
Mm. Yeah, hell yeah. Like,
and he pretty much tells Jack Graham, like, you might have been wrong. I don't think this is a copycat.
Gold star, Jeremy. Gold star.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about this man because at the moment, the movie's painting this guy as a womanizer, badass, like fucking, like just suave as hell. And when he gets into this room and he sees cookies,
he just wants, how he charms the men.
You know, he just wants milk.
I think there's supposed to be humor in this too.
Can I get some milk? Like,
I feel like this must be improv because, like, can I get two glasses?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah.
Make that too.
So you think he just saw, like, a prop cookies on the table and rolled with that? Just like,
well, actually, no, the cookies were given to the Jane, the Asian chick at the start, twin sister. She gave it to him as a thank you.
Yeah, so it was in the script then.
It marks the day, 9 years from today.
Or maybe he just wanted to eat cookies. But you know, I'm saying, but all to get milk with your cookies, man, that's like an old man move. So I would have steered away from
that. Yeah, because he has his saliva in his mouth to actually break the cookies.
But you know, honestly. Okay, so as far as it goes, this scene's very, very entertaining. You got that guy, Jeremy, gets a gold star because he pretty much says, like,
well, it gives him three scenarios. Copycat,
yeah.
Working with Forrester from prison to get the remainder to stay or mistrial.
Yeah.
Or he was wrong.
Yes.
John Graham was wrong.
Issue with this scene is this actor has no idea. Maybe it's the director's fault. He has no idea what energy he should be going for. So at the start, you probably notice, like, he's like in awe of him, of Jack Graham. He's like, oh, like, he's like kind of like tripping on his words and shit.
Yeah, Jack Graham.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. And then he becomes like a bit passive. Like, he's like, oh yeah, like, just like, maybe they're on equal standing. And then he gets really aggressive with him and like an adversary. Like, you just pick a way to do it. It's either like, he should just been aggressive from the start. Or like, but the guy couldn't pull it off. He just, maybe he was just going off the script and just went word for word or something. He didn't really do his.
Well, this guy doesn't come back or anything. It's like this is a scene that could have been definitely edited down.
I didn't mind the scene. I like the scene.
Well, at least make the guy come back.
Yeah.
And near the end, or like get involved with Foresight and like give someone Foresight to talk to about. John Graham's a good guy. Like, when do you bring him in? Like, get some tension that way.
Yeah.
But he gets shown a tape. Like, they're just like, do you know Dale Morris? Like, she one of your students. And like, did you have a sexual issue? A sexual issue with her? He's like, no, I don't see my students.
Are we getting like flashbacks and him like dancing with her and shit?
Well, that's yeah. Oh, you gotta play that music the whole time.
Yeah,
this whole episode, the music, the hip hop music they pick,
the background is just hilarious. I'm not gonna put it in the back of this, bro.
Not, oh well, maybe rather than
I don't want to feel that 88
by the numbers.
At least his hair still looks good for 65.
Well, yeah. So they show him a tape of him of the girl going, "You got the wrong guy." He and then Pacino is meant to be like uncomfortable and like disturbed by what he's seeing, but when it happens, he looks like the way his face looks like he's an old senile man who just farted and realized that, like, oh shit, where am I right now?
Yeah,
that's the facial expressions I'm getting from him in this scene.
Yeah, it's so tough. I don't know what's tough because it doesn't work anymore. I reckon he probably reflected off this movie and like just modified his acting a bit.
Being more expressive.
Maybe embraced, like the old tricks don't work anymore, man. Maybe that shit worked when you're like fucking like smooth skinned and like fucking got the crazy energy, like the beady eyes and shit, but now like he doesn't have that sort of energy anymore. Like, it only comes in like spurts, and like I think he has to really work himself up to that scene.
Yeah, I feel like he can't do too subtle anymore.
Yeah, look at fucking Heat Man.
He's gotta be up to the top.
He's throwing heat in that movie. Like, he's just fucking he's vibrating in that movie. It's so good. And the way in De Niro, like, he compliments him in that. That's the dynamic they have. Like, he's way more subtle and, like, really lets Pacino shine, which is crazy because why do you want an erratic cop? Shouldn't you have an erratic criminal? Like, they really should have swapped it. But maybe that works better for, like, more, to make it more interesting. Who knows?
Yeah, that's right. So he goes, heads back towards, well, he's got a class to teach, so he heads back to the university. On his trip there, we, like, hear like a young kid flying a kite. Look at me, Jack. Look at me. And then I assume straight away, oh, that's his daughter.
Should have been.
And when I was very surprised when, you know, it's like it's your young sister once we realize who it is.
But this movie is so forgettable, bro. I already forgot about that. Those tiny scenes in this
movie. Yeah. So yeah, he's walking to his class, curtain call number 2.
Yes, this is the funniest one.
It's this old man. Ooh. Like, what the hell's going on? What? Hello? Well, yeah, but yes, give 88 minutes to live. What?
What?
Like, you know how long 88 can be, don't you? That's 7:45.
I think
like,
someone's.
Who is this?
I think someone's pranking
TikTok.
You.
TikTok. Who the hell is this? Yeah, it's just so many times.
Yeah.
Like, what were you saying? It's like it's too, like he's just too out of it.
Yeah.
So after that phone call, this is phone call number 3, he calls up his secretary. I want you to do a track and trap. Who just called me?
Track and trap.
Fuck. Oh, off, some bullshit.
Oh my god.
Just
say, can we have a trace? Can we get a trace on this number? Like, just say this cool, yeah. Like, not even cool, but it just sounds so wrong coming out of his mouth.
Yeah. He arrives late to his class. The redhead chick is, you know, doing his job for him. He comes in. This is like a great movie star moment. I always think of Harrison Ford.
Yes.
In
the glasses.
In Indiana Jones. Yeah. And he's, you know, being a teacher. Even Kevin Spacey.
Those people can actually be humble enough. Like, don't have to be like a sexy.
But even Kevin Spacey is a great professor, like 21. Like, he's just captivating. I don't know if Pacino.
Yeah,
he doesn't pull off.
He's got a lane.
Yeah, he doesn't have teacher energy.
Yeah,
you're not.
He's off, uncle not energy, bro. Just like he's on. He's like.
Yeah, he's
Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken level.
Yeah,
100%.
Both of them, they just can't be like. They can't be trusted really to like lead a classroom. Like maybe like they could be like the PE teacher Max, like take you out somewhere fun. Do some wild shit. But yeah, it's true, man. When he teaches class, bro.
Yeah, and realistically, he needs more of those moments where, you know, Indiana Jones doesn't like young girls hitting on him.
Mm.
He, like, Pacino's character loves it, I feel like.
That's why he still does it. The way he sort of acts is like, it's like he talks to himself or he yells out to everyone else. That's like his two modes. It's like he's talking to himself. Like, he's talking to someone else. Like, he's just like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. But then when he's like, what's a big reaction? Just starts like then he starts talking to the audience in a weird way. So when he's doing this professor shit, it's kind of like he's not really addressing his class in a weird way.
Yeah.
He's kind of like rambling to himself at the front.
So he gets a phone call during his
oh my god,
monologue. Tick tock tock. You have 83 minutes to live.
Well, he looks at these class members and he's like, who's on the phone?
That was call number four. Tick tock tock.
Yeah, his beady eyes and shit.
That's weird. He's like, so where was I? He acts like he's like, oh fuck.
And that motorcycle guy is standing there, like, this is the dumbest, craziest, stupid shit.
Yeah. Then he gets another call. This time he doesn't answer it. And then he's like the evil chick's like, are you gonna answer that? And it's kind of a clue.
The evil chick. So but, obvious, man, because even at the time, like the person really had the most.
When you first watched this movie, did you know? Did you have a good inkling? Do you think it was?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Or did you not care? Well, I think
I didn't care that much. But obviously it was her or Ben McKenzie. That's the two I suspect the first time I watched it. Like the guy or the girl. I think, were they like sitting together as well? I can't remember now. Obviously all of them could be the potential one. Yeah. But yeah, no, but if you look at career wise, she's the only one that really had the strongest career until then. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it could have been Deborah Caruga, the girl from Payback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she could have went in through the back door and be like, yeah, I'm the
apparently,
killer.
Apparently, she was accepted in an Australian acting institute. She's the first Canadian.
Oh, wow.
To ever get it.
No, she's a great actress. Great, great look. She's great in the game. Like, she kind of makes that movie.
She plays a hooker, right?
Yeah, she plays like someone who can't be trusted.
But she's actually an actress because that's the game. Everyone's in on her.
Yeah. It gets annoying, that movie. It gets tedious at points, but yeah. Too many back and forth in that.
So he gets the answer to the next phone call. Which is
tick tock, Tony.
It's TikTok. His secretary. No, we're it's halfway. His secretary this time.
We're halfway. We're 44 minutes.
No, tick tock. Yeah, oh no. So he's his secretary saying like, yes, this phone, the phone that we do the track and trace, the phone registers to a Kate Graham, your sister.
Oh,
and this is like this is when there's like the call 4-5 because this call gets overrided by the TikTok. 63 minutes, guys. Or, sorry, 63 minutes to live.
Is that when he's like trying to rub off the fucking thing off his...
Well, is this possible for someone to override a phone call?
No, it's not possible. No, I'm talking about the part where he like rubs out. Isn't it happening when his projector says like...
No. It's like he's in the middle of a phone call to his secretary and then she cuts out and he cuts in.
Mm.
So it's still the same phone call, but I don't know how it's even possible.
Yeah, who knows?
But this is like his monologue. This is like his taking... He's like, I'm going to find you, son of a bitch.
Yes.
You find the clip, put this in.
What, the taken one or this one?
This one. Let's do both, actually. Do side by side.
Yeah, side by
side. I'm going to find you. And then he's like, she sucked just such a long time. Do you remember how long it was? 88 minutes? Do you know how long that is? Which is insane. So it's really insane. And all they're doing is stirring up Pacino's character. He looks around the room. He's paranoid as fuck right now.
Yeah.
And he sees a dude on his phone. He's like, I got him. And then... Yeah, he's like, what are you on your phone, huh? And he's like, I'm going to get the score. Then what's the damn score?
What is this?
And he's like, three more Mariners.
Two for the money? He's gone.
I don't know.
Yeah. He wants to know the result.
He's like, fuck, I just lost money. Yeah, so there's a bomb threat. Everyone has to evacuate. I forgot to mention, he did say, hey, where's Dale Morris? Because he even knows she's dead, but he kind of tricks the class into getting information. But everyone finds out, like, what, you knew? How could you do that? He's like, he looks like a dickhead. But as he's leaving the class, everyone leaves the evacuation, 76 minutes to live. So he knows
there's someone in the
class. The guy's close.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like someone in the classes behind it. So the writer of this movie, Tony, hopefully he has some royalties for this movie. He actually is credited for writing The Fast and the Furious. So he wrote the screen story and the screenplay. So hopefully he owns some royalties to it, because they've done, it's like since Fast X, he has a writing credits, like base creators credited by.
Oh man, Blake. He's fucking loaded then.
Well, hopefully, that's who knows, man? Sometimes they just fucking, they buy the script or they buy the rights to it and you just miss out. Like you need, like that guy, famous dude who wrote, the guy who wrote the book for Rambo, and he's like talking to his lawyer and shit. And he's reading through
the contract.
Yeah, what's his entitlements from the movie and what's his rights? And he's like, well, I don't need like lunchbox and toys and stuff and like sequels. Mm-hmm. Like the guy dies at the end. I don't need this stuff. I don't need any of this stuff. And the guy's like, no, you're gonna need it. And he's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, but the lawyer came through. Eh? The
lawyer's like, yeah, you gotta do it. Like, I've been in this business a long time. Like, trust me, if this is Hollywood, anything can happen. And apparently, like, right. that decision, cost like an extra, like, maybe $1,000 or something to, like, get his contract annulled or whatever. Like, hire him to do a contract. Cause he's like, what the fuck? Like, I don't need all this stuff. And yeah, it's just paid dividends since. Cause I've done how many sequels, how many 100%. Fucking toys.
It's like George Lucas with the toy rights.
Yeah.
Like, I just want the toy rights.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with Hollywood, bro. It's crazy. And AI is getting scary too. Fuck me, dude.
So we have a walk and talk with Pacino and the female teacher. What's her name? Deborah, whatever her name is. Their dynamic. I feel like the dynamic is that she slept with him at one point and he, like, dumped her or, like, you know.
The fuck, bro? Do not. No, yeah. Maybe she just senses he's a commitment phobe and doesn't worry about it.
Yeah. But essentially, they end the conversation with him asking her, like, last night, did you go home with anybody? And he has, like, a stick of gum. Why he asks the question?
Red light.
And that
blue light.
Dog, what the hell? That's what you get from it. All I said is the same stick of gum.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. And she's just like, screw you. And then, like, yeah, she walks away.
Yeah, nothing seen. That was a little bit of like.
It was nothing seen. It was
just a death stare. Death stare look.
Yeah. So we get him leaving the classroom. He's just still paranoid. He makes a phone call to his secretary, saying like, "I want you to do background checks on all my students." So he's putting the work in for later on in the movie when he gets the information, like people's names, like because we'll get to that, but. Anyway, he goes to his car. We won't get to it. We get to the car garage. He left the gun and the tape in his glove box. The tape's still there, but the gun's gone. Someone smashed his car up, and it's wrote 72 minutes to live. And this is the
Why can't they fingerprint the 72 minutes?
Yes, because he has 88 minutes to live, mate. There's no time for that. But actually, that actually reminds me, because... E.G., right?
Okay. What happens if he goes on a plane, flies somewhere? Can he run away from this 88 minutes?
That's true. Why does he remove himself from the situation? Why does he want to solve the mystery so bad?
What's actually the time constraint?
But you said the fingerprints, right?
Yeah. Like, potentially. Like, who knows?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But how the hell did they have John Graham's semen sample? Because there was semen in the... victim and said, it was your semen, Jack.
It's a crazy
No, but how did they have his semen on record?
Like, oh yeah, true. No, but DNA.
Is he much of a womanizer?
No, he must be his DNA or some shit. Like his semen is his DNA or something, Tony.
But all right, so his semen is on file. That's why I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, his semen could be.
That's impossible. Wouldn't they need a semen sample to double check?
Yeah, but maybe it's a DNA thing. Like they can. I don't know, man. It's a fucking terrible movie. But wasn't like heaps of cases like solved after they worked out how to like track semen shit?
Yes.
Like a lot of people were like either like found guilty or like let free. Fucking nuts.
Oh
shit.
Man.
Yeah, DNA.
It is nuts. It is not.
Yeah.
So we get the craziest, what's it called? It's like a flashback, but the what's it called when the music's in the background? Is it ambient? I forgot what the word was.
Yeah, ambient noise. It's like there's no music, you're saying?
But it's like him in his mind, his mind's gone back and it's like hip-hop music goes in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you actually put the thing.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, hell yeah. And then he thinks back to the night. Yeah. He remembers the redhead chick was with the girl that was killed. And then they leave the bar together. He remembers that. And then he remembers Stephen Moyer like looking at them. And then he's like, okay, she's a suspect. And then he questions her because she finds her in the car park, questions her.
She looks so guilty too.
You can't believe I'm a suspect to you. And then.
What are you talking about? Of course you're a suspect.
All right, I'm going to go quick out. He sees the guy from the OC on a motorbike. He questions him. This is like enough. Well, he's a red herring again.
Yes.
He's like, I think you're wrong, Dr. Graham. Like, you've formed a narrative. He's like, I didn't form a narrative. I recreated the crime scene.
I love that shit.
And he's like, you're very convincing.
I recreated a crime scene in my head. It's like the same thing, just different.
No. I mean, it's like, you're very convincing. He's like, that's my job.
Yeah.
And he hears a lady scream, help me, help me. It's the chick with Eyes Wide Shut. She's got a bloody nose. This is just a wild goose chase, I assume.
Yeah.
Just to get him... Just to distract, I don't understand why she does this.
It's just a movie thing. It's a movie trope.
Yeah. So he runs around the car.
So you don't suspect her, Tony. So the back of your mind, you're like, okay, she's a victim.
Yeah, she got beat up.
She's not the person.
Yeah.
That's why. That's but, like, who gives a fuck? Like,
yes. It's a shit movie. So we get Pacino running around briefly, checking over people's hands.
Yeah, briefly.
To see if the killer's doing
2 seconds at a time.
We have, do you see the cameo?
Hey, you think that's Tuco too?
It is Tuco.
I googled
100%
it.
100%
it's Tuco. I googled it, and apparently it's not Tuco. The actor.
1,000,000%.
Raymond
it is
Cruz.
Tuco.
I think so too.
Cruz.
I googled it. I was trying to find it. I was like, no, I can't find it. I got a question for you though, Tony. How many...
Has Pacino and Raymond Cruz ever been in a movie together?
I don't
know. He was a favor.
I don't know.
Well, you want to be in a
movie? Oh, no. His career wasn't going that great. Like, that point. He was just
but
doing
big parts.
He was
in Training Day. He was a great character in Training Day.
Yeah, that was 6 years ago.
Yeah,
it was. It wasn't a big part in that either. He was just like one of the gangsters.
He's so memorable. But then again, maybe he's only memorable because of Tuco.
He shit pushed in. Yeah, he actually probably made it heaps more suspense because he's so
100%.
Like erratic,
so unpredictable.
But a question for you, Tony. Question.
Yeah.
If you get this right, we're all about numbers, bro. TikTok, we're all about numbers. If you get this right, bro, you get an extra 2 minutes. How many episodes?
It's going to be 88 minutes.
How many episodes was Raymond Cruz in, so Tuco, in Breaking Bad?
Not all first season. I think 3-4 episodes of the first season. Does he die in the first season?
Wow.
I think he
does. You remember the climax of season one?
Yeah, he dies, right?
Mm.
Yeah, so I want to go 6 episodes.
You're incorrect on so many fronts. He's in 2 episodes in season 1.
How many episodes?
2.
Okay.
He's in 7 and 8, and he's only in 2 episodes in season 2. He's only done 4 episodes.
The cliffhanger in season 1 is them ordering even more meth.
Like, you kidnapped, don't they?
Oh, I thought you see Tuco bash the shit out of his own henchmen.
He does at one point.
That was the most craziest. That's when he's like,
I think season 1 ends with them being kidnapped, don't they? And the season 2 is about them like getting up and the guy with the bell there. I can't remember either, it's 2 episodes in each season. That's probably the most insane like impact a character had in a series, correct? 4 episodes, bro. And he's like known for like
such a memorable character. Yeah, so great. I loved him when I saw him Better Call Saul.
You did?
I was like, yes, this guy's back.
He's good. You think it's so funny how much you forgive in that show, eh?
Oh, man.
Because you're like, because everyone looks so much older in that show, but you just don't care. Like, yeah. Because it's supposed to be like a prequel or whatever.
Yeah, but I think you're just happy to see the character at the end. That's all it is. All right, so TikTok, we have this scene could have definitely been cut. This is them in the university cop fucking, what do you call this shit? The more security. The university security.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they call it. Dude. But this could have been cut. The only thing that you learn is that Dr. Jack Graham is loved by this security guard. Yeah. And he does like his little tricks, like you're pretending to be a cop.
Which is why he's trying to impress this more cop dude. Because, yeah, what does he want him to do for him? Does he get information from him?
I don't know. Oh, no, because he thinks...
Because he uses him, right?
And I think it's actually another red herring. Maybe there's five red herrings. But it says, he sees a little poster behind the cop that says, now hiring in 2005, Seattle Police.
Which means it was two years ago. No, it was 2007.
No.
Yes, the movie's set in 2007, I promise you.
Yeah.
Right.
But this guy, this actor who plays the Moore cop, or security campus cop, the more...
Actually, Tony, you might be right here, Tony. I think they changed it to 2007 because it was released in 2007. But I think
it was released in 2007.
But
yes,
all their stuff on film is actually says 2005.
Yes.
It's pretty filmed in 2007. So they couldn't even get that right.
They delayed the filmmaking. They would have edited the shit out of this movie.
Yeah, no, that, but like... Chino. Oh, no, but the movie's set in 2007, right? But that sign says 2005.
I don't think it's fair.
Yes, it is. It is. It says 10 years later.
It's actually... No, it means it was set in the year 2000. Because it said... Actually, this movie's so bad. Because it said 9 years later.
In 1997.
And that was in 1991.
What the fuck? Yes. Dude, you're off your head. This movie's giving me...
1997. Yes. 9 plus 7 is 2006.
Maybe. I thought it said 10 years later. And where are you getting this 9 shit from?
I think this movie was filmed in 2005, Shane. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I'll find out anyway. I'm going to just watch the movie again.
I guess all right, doesn't matter. Fuck me. You got to edit the fuck out of this because 88 minutes.
Yeah, I'll get it. I'll get it.
Sorry, I just... The only reason I wanted to mention the Moore cop guy anyway because he's in Freddy vs. Jason. You remember?
Yeah, he's a great role in that. Yeah, he's like a... he's like the guy. Yeah. Is he a stoner guy?
And he's,
I thought it was a guy who sort of works it out.
He's supposed to take a big... No, he does a drug and then he sees Freddy as like a little slug thing. And I think he does...
That's actually a great movie. I don't care.
He does drugs with Freddy, I think.
That's a great movie.
So he asks his secretary this time, have anybody been in my security file?
No, my secure... my extra secure files.
Yes, extra secure.
It's just like... he says my most secure files.
He pieces... Yeah, but he pieces it together. The 88 minutes is a key fucking thing.
Oh, my God.
Only he knows what it's about. So someone's...
And this girl definitely should have fessed up there. It doesn't make sense for her to feel extra guilty. Like, that doesn't help the situation at all.
So I think we got phone call 12:13 now. Foresight calls him up. He's like, I want you to do a security check and security guard.
Security guard.
I don't like him. He's suspicious.
Yeah, it's so crazy, so, like, man. This guy was so nice and so helpful and did everything he could. And he still acts like a massive dick to him. So funny. Just rude.
Maybe this could be her plan. Yeah, this makes sense. The chick from Eyes Wide Shut, she takes him to this campus security.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called, by the way. I finally got it.
Campus security.
I see more cops.
TikTok. But yeah,
takes him to campus security.
That might be our new fucking...
Just to frame...
I think we might have realized we discovered a way to speed up the podcast. Think someone's rambling too much to say TikTok, dog.
That's the power move. I'm telling you right now.
Well, TikTok, but, bro. I know we're talking about this fucking campus bullshit.
No, but this is what her plan was.
Oh, it's not, bro.
Was to get Jack Graham to distract William Forsythe's character and search somebody else. Like, question this person just to buy her more time. That's my story.
All right, TikTok, dog.
He has... I think they say that we got two people in your class that has visited John Forrester, and that's the OC guy and the Eyes Wide Shut chick. Yeah. And I think he focuses more on
the guy.
OC guy.
Yeah.
Benjamin McKenzie, I should say his name. I think it's his name. Because, you know.
OC guy is more than fine. Yeah.
Well, actually, Jim Gordon, which I think is great casting.
Yeah, he's actually good.
He looks like a good Jim Gordon. So he meets up with the redhead chick. She's now his companion for the next couple of...
And not that bad of chemistry either. She actually did a fine job.
She does a good job. This when we learn that she has a boyfriend who's like very overprotective, or ex-boyfriend, I should say. They go to his apartment and there's a new doorman. Yeah. This doorman, Shane, is played by an actor.
Yes, I did look at him
briefly.
This
actor. No, but this he's got a good vibe to him, mate. This was like, I know this guy.
He's off a TV show where he like can kill people with placing like a pencil on a table. You seen that, bro?
But I don't know. The movie I've seen him in is Welcome to Sudden Death. He plays the main
villain. Oh, does he? Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I saw in a YouTube short or whatever it was, like a TikTok doc. So he has this like, it's like,
what's that show?
Person of Interest it's called. You know, the guy from Passions of the Christ?
Jim Caviezel.
Yeah, his show, whatever the fuck that show is.
And like, Person of Interest?
Yeah, whatever that is. But yeah, he like you see him like set this pencil up in this mailbox, like he's like moves it side to side, stands up directly. And then next minute a car like wobbles a pencil, like drops down and just creates a chain reaction to get someone killed. And he's sort of like a hitman. He does like this crazy weird shit.
Okay.
It kind of stuck out to me, like that one part. Yeah, TikTok.
But this doorman.
This is deadly.
This doorman, great performance. This is probably the second.
Oh my God, TikTok, cunt. TikTok.
No, but he has a weird energy. It really works for this scene. Like, is he a plate? Like, is he actually.
This doorman should have had a bigger career, bro. You didn't even say his name. Yes. Michael Uckland.
Yes. But do you think he was a place?
Oh, wait a second. Is he a dead
by one? This chick? No, I don't think so. I think it's the mo that's throwing you off. So we went in his apartment.
He might have been the priest of Deadwood.
She admits that the boyfriend doesn't like you because I told him that I had a silly schoolgirl crush on you. And the chick from Eyes Wide Shut goes in there too, gives him the risk assessment profiles. I think it's a more misdirection.
Yeah.
It's for him to like, you know, buy more time. What else happens? He gets a tape. I can't.
TikTok.
He gets a tape. He listens to the tape. It's it's his baby sister getting tortured, which is insane.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked actually.
So this stirs him up enough to make a phone call to John Forster on MSNBC Live. This is he tells John William Forster, "Hey, watch this. I'm gonna stir people up. Almost stir the shit up right now." Like. He's being vindictive, I guess.
Yeah.
But essentially, he loses the debate somehow. Do you remember how he loses the debate? He says something like, it was just your opinion. And then something about, and he gets the stay of execution because they haven't found out who. I think that's what he's doing.
Because it's a reasonable doubt because someone's killing people outside.
Yeah, that's right. But no, I think that's why he can't just flee the country because he really wants to see John Forster die.
Yeah.
So he's got to prove that the killing.
He's got too much blood first. Oh, no, we're saying that too. He can't leave because he's got, like, he's going to be wanted for murder soon as well.
That's true.
There's also that element. But no, this is the scene where he calls up the news thing, right?
Yeah, this is what I was talking about then.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but like, this is like, I reckon this is, you said somewhere later, this is his big scene. I think this is where he goes for it the most. Yeah, I reckon he's really good in this scene. I'll put a couple of
scores. Just do that. I was trying to do it, but I think one was like psycho babbling innocent people to the death chamber.
I teased before that I had like a good twist. So this is what another one like I think would be good. So you know how it's like it's his baby sister or whatever? I think it could have been like his niece or like a neighbor's kid or his babysitting or just someone really young. He's like in his like 20s or 30s.
I think he was 28. I think.
Yeah, anyway, so he's young. Anyway, so he goes out or something. He gets taken away because he's got a case. Who knows? But the girl gets like killed and like she comes back and there's blood everywhere and like the girl's gone. I was like, what the fuck? Anyway, so... this all happens. So we go up to the movie, blah, blah, blah. It all happens. But it turns out she didn't die. She got kidnapped and brainwashed into like Hayden, his like uncle.
This is old boy?
Yeah, kind of like old boy. But like inverse old boy. So she's there. So like just say this redhead chick turns out to be like his niece. Because she's presumed dead. But he's just like getting her revenge. And it's like
TikTok, man.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's a pretty cool idea. Like, the bad guys like brainwashed her to fuck with him. And like, this is your uncle's fault. You're even with me. He didn't take care of you. I'll take care of you. Kind of like, what's that, kiss the girls shit? You know, Casanova and shit. That doesn't matter.
TikTok. But anyway, this is probably the best acting in the movie, and was when John Forrester, Neil McDonald, whatever his name is, finds out he gets to stay out of execution. He's like, seriously? And he tears up. Okay, that's the best acting in this whole movie.
Yeah, but Tony, at this point, man, he's only seen Pacino and he's like by himself. He's not actually seen everyone else act. So yeah, he's probably thinking like, hell yeah, I'm going to be the star. This is like, like I'm doing a two-hander with Pacino. Like I'm the baddie. It's pretty fun. All right, TikTok, bro. We got left.
All right, so the room gets smoked out. Stephen Moyer's at the door with a gun. He's like, okay, now we've got to face him.
I actually like this scene.
you do?
Yeah, this
is like so jarring his accent because, like, you know, I'm used to hearing that Sullivan.
Yeah, I didn't watch True Blood.
Anyway,
that much.
It was very jarring for me because I'm used to seeing the Alabama accent.
Alabama slammer.
Yeah. Put the clip in of his voice. Fuck it. I just seem like, what were you doing at the bar last night with him? What were you doing?
He's just a jealous
type. Yeah. Yes. He gets shot 3 times.
It's crazy. That's pretty
funny. Pacino and his chick. It's actually pretty funny. You probably noticed, but Pacino's like, okay, when I say go, we run. Look, I'm going to run. I'm going to go for it. When I say go, you follow me. And then he just runs away and she follows him without him saying go or anything. It's like,
I didn't even notice that.
It's the dumbest thing. I just laughed. Like, okay,
he's always trying to be the hero.
Pointless thing. This is the save the cat moment as they're escaping the smoke. Yeah. I don't think it's even a fight. I think it's just a
smoke. Oh, yeah, when he helps
helps an old granny, Miss Lewinsky.
Of
course, it's Miss. Oh, it's Miss Lewinsky too, because you know he's banged her.
Yes. Bro, yeah, it's so funny. Like, he does not look like he's supporting her whatsoever. He's just, like, touching her.
Yeah, it's like opposite. Well, look at that. It could be legit. Could be his girlfriend in real life. Well, it should be his girlfriend in real life, I should say. But he escorts her to firemen.
What's that bigger for the, like... with Frank Reynolds when he has in that date and he's like, yeah, I think I'm too old. I think you're too old for me. He's like, I'm younger than you. He was in that date at the start. He's like, you don't need daughters or whatever. This is boring. Well, but you're the crazy girl, man. You're so crazy.
This is a old man, looks like an old man. He goes out into the streets and like an old lady sees him. He's got a gun. And like, he's got a gun. And Jack thinks it's the killer out there. It's pretty funny. I think it's like comedy. He's like, oh. And then like everyone just flees. And then he always gets hit by a fire truck. Like,
oh my God. Stunt doubles.
4 cuts.
This.
Yes. Yeah. He jumps out of the way. He finds Kim.
So.
Redhead chick.
So that girl was called Miss Lewinsky, correct?
Mm-hmm.
She was born in 1931. So she was 9 years older than Pacino.
Okay. Well, okay. That counts.
9 years? No way.
Yeah, he's older. She goes to unlock his car. Hey, it's not working. Pacino, the stuntman, tackles her to the ground.
Yeah.
It's a bomb. Like, what did you do that for?
It's a bomb.
Yeah, but I don't know, but Pacino's, what did you do that for? He's like, oh, I thought it was going to boom, blow.
Yeah,
trailer moment. He's hugging her. She feels safe.
So weird. This is so, doesn't feel like, obviously the script demands like sexual tension, but this is none of that.
So this is like the perfect action movie scene where cop reprimands a car. Like,
did we skip the part when he comes out with a gun?
I mentioned that.
Oh, really?
Briefly.
Fuck, it was funny.
But
he's like, who's got a gun? Yeah, because he's trying to like distract people. Like, oh, it's not me. Who's got the gun? It's like, I found it pretty funny the way he walked out the building. Because like, he's like clearly holding the gun, but obviously it was a choice so people could actually notice he's holding the gun. He just looks so out of place. I'm like, what the fuck? But he's also a slight hunchback in this, right? Do you notice that?
He's old as fuck, man. His back's all crooked. I should say that's fucked up. Anyway, so we got that, you know, action movie trope where the hero reprimands a cab or another car.
Oh my God, $100 for an hour.
But this time he pays the taxi driver to sit in the back, which is crazy. And like they have such deep conversations with the taxi guy in the back.
Oh my God, yeah, it's fucked. Yeah, it's so stupid. So Tony, describe what the serial killer does to the women. So
he hangs them upside down, cuts their calf, and I guess drains them out. But I think he rapes them as well, which is kind
while they're upside down or something.
I think Actually, I don't know when the process is. It could be when they're dead.
But isn't it funny, man? Like, it's not even scary or shit like that. Like, even, like, usually, a good movie with this same sort of, like, subject matter, those scenes are, like, scary. Like, they're actually, like, you don't want to be in that scene. This is just like, some girl hanging upside down. Not that big of a deal. They can't even capture.
There's so many elements, like, they could have improved it.
TikTok doc.
I'm not smart enough.
We're at but hour
this
11.
Is, this is, damn. But anyway, Al Pacino. This is Al Pacino's
70 minutes, bro.
This is Al Pacino's big monologue of the movie. He pays a taxi driver $20 to get out of the cab so he can tell his story. Like, yes, but my kid's sister. Okay. A long time ago. She was staying in my apartment in New York City. You can put the monologue in. But anyway, he does, like, when he starts to get emotional about it all, like, he's just monologuing, like, carelessly.
Yeah.
But when it's, when the emotions, you put the clip in, but he's like, it took him 88 minutes to butcher, to push my baby sister. It's just insane. Like, it must have been first take. I reckon the director's like, first take, Pacino, fucking brilliant.
Did it Clint Eastwood, the way they did it.
Yeah.
That's a wrap.
But you put the clip in of him going, like, my sister.
Yeah. You know what's another thing that's annoying about this movie, bro?
I don't think he even shed a tear either.
Yeah, he's phoning in. Literally, he's got a phone on him the whole time.
But was it Kim? Okay, I don't know. Like, the girl next to him is actually crying and she's putting in the work.
Hell yeah.
She's more upset than him.
He's like a legend and he's still like prestige by then. Like, he's not over the hill. Like, he's like at the bottom of the hill. Like, he's still on the hill. They're on opposite side of the hill. She's climbing up the hill. He's on the other end. So they're on level. I don't know a good way to describe it, but she's going to be trying.
He's done. He knows what movie he's in.
Yeah.
He did it for the money. Looks like Cronenberg and History of Violence.
I tell what's fucked up though. That phone ringtone sounds just like my washing machine. So every time I went, it's just like the perfect noise. To where I think, oh shit, the washing machine is making a noise. It tricked me like three different times throughout the movie.
Oh.
So, like, what the fuck was that? Anyway, we should let the girl in long legs though, right? She was good in long legs. That's the only really thing I know her from.
She plays the mother, right?
She's creepy as fuck as the mother.
The movie could have been so... Oh, I was so hyped.
Had potential. Like, the start was awesome.
The start was really good. Malika Monroe, she's a great actress. I really like her.
Do you think that guy should just take his time? The director? What's his name? Frank?
Oz Perkins?
Yeah, Oz Perkins. Sorry, I got mixed up with Frank Oz for some reason. So Osgood Perkins. Like, you think, because I think what did he release? Like, I think he released maybe 2024, 2025, 2026, shit like that. Yeah, so he's got The Monkey.
He's just pumping him out. I feel like, because I think his dad directed a couple of movies.
Yeah.
Anthony Perkins, the guy who did Psycho.
So he did.
I think he would have told him, like, I think he's dead now, but I think he was like, so fuck. When my career was like, when I was hot, I should have took more advantage of it.
Yeah.
I think that's what he would have told him.
So since 2024, he did Long Legs, The Monkey, and The Keeper. So he did 2024, 2025, 2025. He had three movies released in 2 years.
Damn.
Yeah, it's nuts. And that's what I think. Just take your time on it, man. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
He's not like, who was it? What was her name? He directed Saltburn. She's having a good track record. I think 2 or 3 years he's been
between. Saltburn's overrated, bro.
No, but A Young, Promising One Woman, Saltburn.
That was overrated too. I think all his shit's fucking overrated.
I really like him. I really like all his stuff so far.
No.
So there you had this Sarah Pollard's apartment, his booty court. What would you call it? His one night stand.
Yeah.
Hooker transaction. What do you know?
She's upside down.
He gets his gun out, walks in the apartment. He sees her hanging upside down already. He's like, oh no. But the thing is, you see her, like, the back of her head, and then we get, like, a flashback. I don't think the hip-hop music comes on, but it treats the audience like idiots. It's someone like, it is Sarah Pollard.
Yeah, she's dead.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean. She just died. It's a pretty crazy scene. I think this is the semen talk starts coming out, right? So there's semen everywhere. They stole my semen.
Yeah, like, they, well, this place is full of my DNA. Please get me here in a second.
Yeah, fuck, that was fucking funny. Yeah. Got DNA
it's
everywhere.
It's a forged credit card receipt too. Because like he's saying like he did pay for sex, but it's in his name, so he's fucked. He gets I think this is phone call 27 or something. It's his boss,
the assistant.
Mrs. Porter.
The
school teacher.
Yeah.
The dean. I think Carol. Yeah, she calls him up like TikTok. Like, you're so close. Like, you fucked up. It was me. Like, throw him off. But obviously, she's under duress. I think he knows that. Yeah. This is when Shelley walks into the Kate Pollard's apartment as well. And she's crying. It was me. I breached through security. It was Layla. She seduced me, made an advance. But it couldn't have been her because we and her slept together. Even though, like, I think it's bullshit, but she's now a main suspect in your head.
Yeah.
He goes outside.
She's gone,
the
right?
Force. Huh?
She's gone. The redhead, right?
She left. He's like, go somewhere safe. I can't remember what he said. TikTok.
TikTok, dog.
William Forsythe. This is the big scene. This is Pacino's best work. William Forsythe, just come in with me. Like, you never told me. You never told me there was semen in there, and like, it's
oh my god!
But yeah, put the video clip in, please.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Because I can't really remember. Didn't write the dialogue before. When was the semen was in Sarah Pollard?
Yeah.
He promises like he talks away about like, hey, let's sync watches. If I'm but in your hands by this time, everything should be sorted by this time, essentially. I'm losing it bad.
I don't even know, man. I'm just...
Oh, sorry. 11:40.
I'm looking at Al Pacino's career, bro. He directed three things in his career. Looking for Richard.
Fortwood, I'm guessing.
Which is 1996. Looks pretty interesting. It's like about the stage play, Richard III, or whatever the fuck that shit is. And then he directed a movie called Chinese Coffee in 2000. And he directed the movie called Wild Simone, and then Simone. That's got that fucking redhead.
Like Sim 1, you're talking about?
S-A-L-O-M-E, oh, I don't know. Simone. Jessica Chastain. It's a biblical story of a girl who agrees to perform the dance of seven veils in return for John the Baptist's head on a silver platter. Kind of weird.
Wait, how
shit.
Long was that, 8 minutes? Because I think we have 10 minutes to go.
No, I think we've got less, bro. It's been... But I'll edit it.
88 minutes is an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's true. So it's I've got 78 minutes.
I've been with exactly 10 minutes ago.
78 minutes.
But anyway,
right.
Get the names of the women lawyers who work for Foster. I want the names and ages. Look, I don't know how you operate, Jack. Who the hell? I don't know what the hell you're thinking. It's no secret. You're a womanizer. You drink too much.
You got sexy. You're so sexy.
I don't know. You haven't gone completely over the edge.
You're so sexy.
Oh man, I can't. Yeah, no, but put the clip in.
It's
obviously a frame job, okay?
He's
like. Yeah, but he's like, listen, I just need more time. Meet me at the university at 11:40. Yeah.
It's thin.
Or should be.
It's thin, okay?
I know.
So we got a small thing. It's thin.
Great. Yeah. That's how you know he's a great actor when you can do comedy like that.
Yeah. I'll have to watch that again.
He plays a great villain in our. Is it Alpha Justice? He plays the villain?
Yeah.
He plays a great villain in that too.
He's got a great villain face.
But one of the great best kills. Well, no, one of the best send offs. Do you remember the movie?
Yeah, Stone Cold.
Yeah, Stone Cold.
Is that when he's on the motorbike?
Yeah, they put a cigarette in his mouth. They just buried him. Oh, it was so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's
but anyway,
good career.
He convinces William Forsythe to meet him at the university at exactly 11:40. That's 5 minutes before the 88 minutes is up.
Mm-hmm.
He heads to the university, gets another phone call. I think this is phone call 30. She says, the chick's there, the redhead chick, Kim, is like, it was me, Jack. I set you up. You have 14 minutes. Get to a certain spot, like the gymnasium or I don't know which building. He has to go to a certain building. This is when he works out the people who visited him, the lawyers, which I don't know how he got that so quickly. But then he realized it was Layla.
He's still rambling on, cunt. Yeah. TikTok.
So he gets to his office. Benjamin's there. And Benjamin's I'm doing a citizen's arrest, essentially. Like, I know you're guilty.
Yeah.
Pacino whips out his gun. this is meant to be like his badass moment. He needs to get out of the room because
he shoots his gun, though.
It's not your office. It's, yeah. It's like, it would be pretty. I don't think it's cool.
I don't know. It's cool because he's just like.
It is cool.
He subverts his expectation because he's like, are you going to kill me?
It is cool, but no. But the line he says it after, it's like, I'm a bad chat.
Yeah, I like that shit. I mean, that was the best part.
That's not a good line, though.
Why is it? It's a good line. It makes sense.
Oh, a bad shot. That's
no, because.
No,
the whole idea of that line is, Tony, because he thinks he's the bad guy. Michael Stempt.
If you see the character later on, but you don't.
No, it doesn't matter, because he thinks he's a bad guy. He thinks he's just lying to him. And so when he has the upper hand, if he was the guy he thinks he is, he would have shot him. And so when he shoots the gun, he's like, I'm a bad shot. It's like, what are you going to believe now? You're going to believe I'm the actual killer, or I'm me?
Okay.
That's what he means by that.
TikTok. So he calls up Frank. He doesn't answer the phone, though. He leaves a message in his message bag saying, Frank, when you get this message, I'm going to be at the Stern building. So head to the Stern building, not my office, on the 7th floor.
Get there for a climax. Let's go.
This is Pacino jogging. I wouldn't say running. What would you call this? I wouldn't call this a run.
This is a 65-year-old man trying to run.
Just jogging.
Some guy who's never ran much in his 30s and 40s is now trying.
This is the climax. This is like Batman reminiscent of going up to a top of the building.
Yeah, a couple of shots of the same similar when Batman looks up like, oh my God.
Yeah. I think he's on the ground floor. He sees blood drop, drip, drip, drip. He looks up. He sees a body. He doesn't know who it is yet. He just runs as quick as he can. This is multiple cuts. It's pretty hilarious. This is Pacino, action star.
Yeah, action star.
He loads his gun. He walks 65. Out. He sees Isla. Punctual, Dr. Graham. I'll give you a B+ for effort. She's got the teacher hanging off the edge. She's holding the rope, and Kim tied up to a chair. She has all the cards. Yeah. And then the delivery of her saying, "Is that a gun?
You're holding? Oh my god!
It's not a gun. You're
this
holding.
Is the Razzie.
Is that a gun, Dr. Graham?
Oh my god!
This is just bad.
You have to know. You have to know you're in trouble. I hope they didn't film this last. Maybe if they did film it last, I'd probably be like, okay, let's change the ending.
Or it could be. This could be the Travolta Cage moment. You know how Travolta saw Cage go way over the top in his scene. And Charlie's like, oh, this is the movie we're making? So this could have been the first scene, mate.
I'm just saying.
And then Pacino's like, okay. He just checked out. She tells her to put the gun on the ground to slide it. He does like a little baby kick. And she's like, slide it. He can't use his gun. He can't use his physical, so he's only using his brains.
Physical.
This is a cycle. She says, you're not using a cycle gamble on me. And he's like, why? You were such an individual. You got played, like you got suckered in, essentially.
Yeah.
She doesn't give a fuck about it. It's like, I just want your confession.
Yeah.
So confess. And he's like, okay, he immediately gives up what she wants. Yeah. I coached Jenny K. Okay.
I'll tell you whatever you want.
It's just dumb.
I feel sorry for the girl from Payback. Like, she's upside down. Obviously, she's a stunt double most of the time.
With a cut on her neck, too.
Yeah. Just talking about the actress herself. They would have had a couple times upside down for this shitty part and a shitty movie, going for all this, like, effort. Like, it'd suck. Like, just trust me, man. She probably in her 40s or 50s in this role, hanging upside down like that for this fucking crap.
I guess you can say, the damsel in distress in this movie. Pacino was saving me.
Bro, do you think the movie would be better if you did kiss that redhead chick too? Or worse?
Wait, no. He doesn't sleep with his students.
Yeah, he's got ethics, bro. He's sleeping with a prostitute.
All right, so essentially the psycho babble was like, hey, how can you take a fall for this guy? And he goes, and she actually will take the fall for this guy too.
Yeah, she's fucking
committed. She's a true believer.
Yeah, I think she says
that. Well, you better believe. But you really believe as an FBI agent put a gun at your head right this moment.
Yes.
Believe it.
Believe.
This is like the biggest club.
I love it, bro. This psycho gambit, wasn't it? Some shit.
He says it, believe it, like six times.
Yeah, but dude. Yeah,
goodbye, Dr. Graham. And then bang, will enforce how it shoots her in the back of the head.
Yes. So she should have believed
it. His boss, the dean of the school, falls. Fucking Jack jumps, grabs the rope. She gets hooked, Isla. But I think she's dead anyway, right? She was shot in the back or in the head.
Oh, yeah, she's dead. I don't know how the hell her body gets up and fucking swims.
No, actually, no, she's still alive because Pacino looks at her and, like, he has a choice. Save Isla or save the dean. And
it's a hard choice.
An obvious one. He unhooks the rope from Isla. She falls to her death. Boom.
Cool stunt.
She pulls up. Yeah. Pacino almost pulls up the dean without help, but Forsythe finishes the job with him.
Yeah. Dude, so many things wrong with this scene. Like, she does not even look badass. She's, like, wearing a leather jacket and she's supposed to look imposing. Yeah. She just looks off. Her acting's off. Wardrobe's off.
It's a bad performance.
Yeah.
It's a bad performance. The girls get saved. Pacino hugs the redheaded chick. It's like, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. This is the ambiguity I was talking about. First thing he does, he looks for the tape.
He have a phone call and he, like, rubs it into him?
Yes. That's right. Yeah. He's like,
fuck you.
TikTok. This is a great scene. Great acting from Neil McDowell, whatever his name is, John Forrester.
Because he plays like he has the upper hand on him. Yeah. Can you please put my lawyer on the phone? She's in disbelief right now. Yeah. And he's like,
she's downstairs, Graham. She's dead. It's like, bullshit. My lawyer.
Yes. He's a funny fucker. Yeah. And when it turns out to be like, you're going to die. And he's like, what? And they cut that scene out. I think it's a good way to end it with just him, like, staring at the camera and, like, looking at the people. That's what, there's a couple moments where he looks at his student.
Well, you missed a great dialogue. You know what, Mr. Graham? You know, when I get out of here, I'm going to go out and have a nice meal. And then I'm going to stop by your grave and piss on it.
Piss all over it.
Piss all over it.
That's not going
to
work.
And then Richard's like, TikTok, you got 12 hours to live. And then he throws the phone.
Oh, my God.
The score goes and the phone slow motion to the ground. Smash. That was the last phone call. That was
supposed to be like a cathartic release or something.
And then we have a slow fade out to his baby sister.
Yeah. No, but there's moments where he, like, looks at the people. It's really funny too. He looks like, his hair looks so fucking, like, thin and, like, crazy.
Well, yeah. Well,
like, it's like they hold their shot.
Up the stairs. He's a hair acting, right? That's what he does.
Yeah.
But when he sees the tape recorder, this is the ambiguity. He says, good job, Jade. Like, you have a flashback of that. So it's kind of like, oh, wait, did he coach her? Did he? He actually falsified evidence? Forsythe sees him do this, gives like a little nod.
Yeah, this is the nod.
So this is a great anti-hero. This movie's ended and we did this in...
Doesn't matter, mate.
Hour and 28 minutes, exactly. So you're going to edit this down. 88 minutes.
Yes, in a sense. But just like the movie, bro. 88 minutes is movies an hour and 46 minutes. So we have like a bit of time to actually end the podcast.
We have 16 minutes after the movie.
Yes.
This is the end credits then.
Yeah, end credits now. But no, we'll talk about that last scene. So when he's like, you got to believe. You got to believe there's a gun pointing to you. Now,
believe that.
You got to believe that. But she should have believed it and there should be no one behind her. And that's when he makes his move. Like, do something like that tricks her, you know?
Psycho,
like, get in her head. Yeah.
The psycho babble.
Get something in her head. Yeah. Get something like a bit more inventive, not just fucking like actually have someone else save the day, you know what I mean?
Well, he did tell him to go to that building, which just makes no sense because.
It's just, the whole movie doesn't make sense. Don't even give it that. All right, so that was 88 minutes. I hope we didn't just ramble on too long. TikTok. Yeah, terrible movie. Has its moments of so bad it's good. But I wouldn't even recommend it because I think there's slogs moments in this. And I think a true, like a real lover of Pacino would love it. But for just your layman, you watch The Room, watch Sharknado, or whatever the fuck, like just obviously bad movies are. That's more up your alley. People who, the layman wouldn't like this movie.
This is the movie if you want to turn your brain off and have a good time. Don't think about it too much.
Yeah, but I think you have to understand the irony of the choices and how bad they are. And
yeah, yeah.
But I don't think people, the normal person won't get that. Like Crystal didn't laugh the parts I was laughing at. She barely watched it. She was just doing other stuff in the house. I tell her, watch this part. Because I was like, this is hilarious. And she didn't really get it. Which is kind of funny because it's not nothing really to get, really.
Oh, sorry. I just remembered. The dialogue in that scene with Willem Forsythe and Pacino outside when he's going to arrest him, he says, your semen was in her vaginal wall. The way he, like, who uses that wording?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we found your semen. As harsh as possible. Man, they would have got the dailies of Zodiac. I'm like, oh, shit. We need to get grittier.
Yeah, we need to make it more edgy.
Yeah, get grittier.
Let's make it edgy.
Yeah, so what's your final thoughts, bruv? Would you ever watch this again? Because I don't think... I probably will watch it again, probably in 10 years.
It sucks because, you know, when we watch a movie for the podcast, I tend to pay more attention. Mm. And this watch, I was like, fuck, this movie is actually way worse than I remember.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, bro.
But I don't regret watching it. You don't either.
We should have done it probably 2 more years, Tony. We should have done it on his 88th birthday. Watch this movie. Do a podcast on it. He's only 86 this year. So yes. When he's 88, we have to do a...
Maybe release this in 2 years then.
Okay.
That makes sense. Because
took him 2 years to film it. Might take me 2 years to edit it.
That's right.
We will re-release it in two.
This movie is not as good as Hudson Hawk, but this could. I would like to make this
the same vein. It's in the same vein.
I know, but we'd like to make this the new bar. Like, this movie's better than 88 minutes, but most movies would be better than this movie. Unfortunately,
so it's better than 88 minutes, but it's worse than Hudson Hawk. So you've got another one for your scale.
Yeah, in between.
Yeah, that's where most movies will sit, I bet.
But like, I'm gonna echo your thoughts. It's just like, if you're a Pacino fan, definitely worth
it. It's a must watch. Just to have yourself a Google and just see a dying.
And De Niro would have made this movie worse if he
was. No, hell no.
If he was the lead,
No.
You think of him as a womanizer?
Feel like we have to watch. I can we do Righteous Kill next, and we'll see who does better
next.
Well, like, just for between me and you, without Jordan.
Actually, I think Carla Gugino is the love interest.
Even better. That's a really good cast.
I wouldn't even say even age appropriate.
Well, honestly, man, De Niro would do it better. De Niro's a much better actor, especially for this sort of role. Like, he doesn't, Pacino just doesn't have it anymore. He's trying it. He's trying his old tricks, bro. They're just not working. He's not carrying it. He's actually, the movie falls apart because he's not carrying it.
TikTok, Oscar picks.
Yeah, Oscar picks. But we'll do a Righteous Kill next when we some downtime when Jordan's not around. We'll do Righteous Kill.
Not easy.
Yeah. And we could have a proper debate. Who's better? Turk or Rooster? That's the two characters' name. All right, Tony, whose name is Turk and whose name's Rooster in Righteous Kill?
Wait, so Turk is short for Turkey, I think?
I don't know. Could be. It would make no sense. So, like,
Turk is definitely... Turk's a cool name from Scrubs.
Turk.
So the cooler character could be Turk. Turk is Pacino and then Rooster's De Niro.
Incorrect.
Because Rooster's more dangerous.
Incorrect.
Right?
De Niro's called Turk and Al Pacino's called Rooster. Pacino looks like fat in this movie.
Wow, that's like the Mr. Blue, like, or like Avon wants to be Mr. Black. As if you wouldn't be called Rooster.
I think, did we watch this? We weren't even that big of fans of Pacino when we watched Righteous Kill, I'm pretty sure.
We definitely watched it because we're like, what?
Yeah, and it was two legends
teaming up. And I think we got like maybe a half an hour, like, well, this movie is not good.
Just too old. And they did The Irishman when he just like fucking have like 11 years later. Yeah. So this is so funny. Anyway, old people. So let's go to Oscar picks. Let's be honest about this. I want to give my Oscar to the bad guy.
His name is McDonough.
Yes.
What's his name? Is that his actual name? Put some respect on it.
I'm stuck on Righteous Killer right now. His name is Neil McDonough. Yeah, give it to Neil McDonough.
Okay.
Great role, smashed it. He actually gave the most effort, and he was consistent.
Okay. I'm gonna give it to whoever's in charge of Al Pacino's mane. That's fucking my Oscar.
That's some of his best hairdo though. Like, he's had way better hairdo in the past. And like,
I think what they're working with, like. It would have been told, make him look young and sexy.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing that's actually doing its job. He has great
hair. I reckon it's a good hairstyle.
Yeah. It's his hairstyle. There isn't that much difference, really. Bro, oh my God, looking at behind the scenes. Like, I mean, the red carpet photos of him, bro. It's like a spray tan on and shit and the leather jacket. Damn. I think he's gone through like a late life crisis when this movie was coming out. Like, he was definitely...
I enjoyed Pacino's hair in this.
Yeah, this is his last chance of him trying to be the sexy leading man, and he failed. Anyway, so let's go into, actually, that might be it, because the next movie we're going to do together, me and you, is going to be Righteous Kill. So yeah, 88 minutes. Hope you enjoyed it. All right. Was that, sorry? Yeah, end it.
Cool. Let's throw the tape measure. Oh, tape measure. Let's throw the tape recorder. No, it was the phone. Let's throw the phone off the balcony.
I've already dropped my phone beforehand, so can I borrow your phone? You're the
assistant. What was the point of that, actually? That because, like,
yeah, the secretary was, like, forwarding the number then, to the
killer? No, but, like, forward all the calls to this, to my, like, all the calls that's going to go to his number.
Yeah, I don't know if they do that. I thought, like, people who try to call it, or what, I suggest
it made no sense for him to drop the phone at all. Maybe, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. I thought, like, people who were trying to call would get disconnected, and then they call the office. Or do they call the office first?
That's what Johnny Cochran thinks, like, doesn't make sense. Look at Pacino's hair. Look at Pacino's hair.
Yeah.
Go get it.
No, look at, yeah, no, I think it was happening to me. So they call his office and then the office forwards it to him. So now he's just forwarding the calls to herself. So
there's no point in him breaking the phone. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, true. Yeah, and also, well, I'm talking about the phone. I'm talking about the time when he dropped his phone, like his old man style, dropped it down the stairs and shit. And it was broken.
Yeah, that was one of the funnier moments of the movie.
All right, so let's end it there. We'll see you guys next time on The Righteous Kill. If you want a movie, email us on fansonfilm.com.au and we'll try to do it. All right, thanks for listening.
Saw it last night.
To our impossibly difficult professor, we say thank you for making our lives miserable.
The pleasure is all mine.
We're celebrating Forrester's pending execution.
Oh, we were celebrating his conviction.